Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. How far along are we this month? It's the what?
4 days.
4 days. It's the beginning.
But it's the beginning. And you know what I like is that we have this casual and unrehearsed conversation.
Yeah, casual.
Casual.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's casual. Casual. I'm doing a lean back. Hang on a second. Let me get the mic closer. I'm doing a lean back right now. It's kind of
Who would know?
Exactly. Listen, can I tell you something? There was a doldrum of interesting news related to markets for like not recently, but going back about a year. And I remember saying, oh my God, the markets, this is kind of this void. And lo and behold, now there's so much I don't even know what we can cover in one show. it's amazing what's going on. We have techs getting slammed from both sides. We got market issues. We got valuations. We got Department of Justice. We got all this going on. We have the political spectrum of people trying to shut down Facebook and split them up and, you know, all that. We have the possibility of maybe it was May and go away and a June swoon, although that seemed to have self-corrected today. I want to let you know that I went to the Share Show this weekend. The beginning of the end. I went to the, which is possibly why I went to the Share Show. But I went to the Share Show in New York. I was in Manhattan and went down to Broadway and got some tickets. Got like a 7th or 8th row, just a little bit to the right. And that was a cool show. Yields are continuing to collapse and gold is moving higher. Gold is on the move. Bitcoin is starting to back up. After that nice run that we saw last week, Bitcoin's all of a sudden coming back. Actually, let's do a quick check on the coiner, on the Bitcoiner. Got this nice little app here, TradingView, on the iPhone, which is free. And it's up a little bit, but it's at 7,748 after dropping down again today yesterday it was about 8,800, and it dropped down to a low about 7,500 today. Now it's starting to perk back up.
Well, you're getting in?
No.
Buy low.
No, not touching that stuff anymore. I had a little run with that. It was fun, made a couple of bucks. But the problem with that is it's open 24/7. So
you're right. You can be in your bed asleep and the thing crashes.
Right, which means you don't sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get any rest. I'm one eye open all the time and grabbing my iPhone in the middle of the night and looking at the prices and wondering if I got to trade something out or trade in. You know, should I get in? And then the weekends. It's just ridiculous. You know, Saturday night, you're checking your phone. You're out with a bunch of people, and what are you doing? Just checking on the price of Litecoin. You know, oh, okay. I have people that have friends that do that. It's like enough already. But here's a quick market update. We have the S&P 500 below the 200-day moving average, which corrected itself today, actually, with a nice rally. We had a huge rally today. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. It was quite something.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact news was, but I have some theories. Now there is a,
I have nothing.
Here's my coming up with the first theory. We are now looking at a 66% chance of a rate cut by July.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is that you think would just count it for this?
Yep.
That rumor going around that you picked up in the office?
Yes. I was standing by the water cooler and a couple of guys came over to me and said, hey, we got some bets. No, actually, it's not only a rumor, but it's now being floated as a trial balloon in every conversation from every Fed official. Well, you know, we got Powell was out yesterday. I think it was, today. Powell was out today, and we had 3 or 4 different Fed peeps talking about how, well, you know, if we have to combat the slowdown because of the trade war, we'll do whatever we have to do to make sure the economy stays strong. And, you know, we're considering all the different options. I mean, they made all sorts of innuendos that markets picked up on and felt that, hey, it looks like they're going to do something here. So
the market will go up 500 points on just a bunch of speculation about the Fed and what they're thinking?
Yes.
That's really, don't you think that's kind of like...
The thing that I find hard to believe is that we've known about this. We've known about this for the last, I would say, probably the last couple of weeks, that the Fed was going to probably look to cut rates because they overshot back in December.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we get some commentary from the Fed that was dovish to begin with, which caused the rally in January, February, and March. And all of a sudden, people are catching on to saying, hey, you know what? Maybe they're really serious this time. I don't know. I mean, was it that? Was it that we moved below the 200-day moving average? And all of a sudden, everybody said, you know, that's a good buying opportunity. Was it that the buybacks got turned back on? You know, the yield curve started to straighten out a little bit today. So that's possible. That's definitely possible. But remember the last couple of weeks, what's really caused some of this downtrend was two major issues. Well, I would say probably four. One is the continuation of the global slowdown and the implosion of the economic backdrop in Europe. That's been a big problem. Then you got the slowdown in China. Then you got the walk away by Trump with the China trade talks, right? Just said, you know what? We're not doing this. We're just going to raise tariffs. Then the surprise Mexico tariffs, which we haven't even talked about yet. So all that really began to sink in. Everybody's like, okay, well, that's a problem. Companies are getting really nervous about this. The business community, chambers of commerce, even a lot of Republicans, even some people on Trump's team are saying, you know what? These Mexican tariffs are a problem. But let's start with that. Let's start with the Mexican tariffs.
Which is nice because we've had a lot of people tweet that they want you to discuss this.
Oh, okay. There you go. So in a surprise tariff by tweet last Thursday, President Trump, out of absolutely left field, said, I mean, more than left field, like another entire ballpark, said, you know what? Starting June 10th, which, remember that date. That's an important date to look at because that's a Monday. I want you to store that in the back of your Dvorak cerebellum. Okay? That's a Monday.
Yeah, I'm there.
So starting on that date, we're going to impose a 5% tariff on all incoming products to the United States from Mexico. All, 100%, all of them. We're not going to pussyfoot around like we do with China, saying, a couple of hundred billion here, and then that's 10%, and that's... And in addition to that, we're going to have an increasing process on these tariffs. We're going to start at 5, maybe they can go to 10, maybe 20, maybe 25%, because the tariff man, he is using tariffs as a policy tool. He wants to stop this whole immigration problem and shut it down. And since Mexico is not playing ball, he wants them to get hurt. So what he's doing is he's using these tariffs in a presidential process that may or may not be legal to do, saying it's a national security issue, which I think that the tariffs on Mexico, if you link it to immigration, are probably more of a potential national security issue than the China deal was, right? Which is just more like trade and a trade imbalance, some IP issues, I get that.
Yeah.
But this is more I think this is more in line, yes, with a immigration situation. So they're going to enforce it on 6/10 if this is not resolved, or if maybe something comes out of Mexico that they'll deal with it. Already Mexico got all flustered. They go, oh, we want to meet. We want to talk about this. What's going on? We saw the Mexican stock market get tumbled down. We saw the peso get cut by 2.5 to 3% in the day that this was announced. And a lot of stocks are related to Mexico, inclusive of our car manufacturers, which do a lot of business. We got a lot of our car manufacturing out of Mexico. Comes back, and here we are. With this situation. Now, here's my prediction. Bringing back that date. Tariffs go in force on 6/10. My prediction, and I think this is what the markets are pricing it also, the realization that this was a hasty measure and that it's done as a negotiation tool, the art of the deal, to bring Mexico to the table to do something about their immigration problem. And on Sunday night, right before futures open, we'll see a postponement as talks are going very well.
It's possible.
So,
I mean, it's not like what you're predicting isn't something that we may have seen again and again.
Yeah.
You know, which is Trump's bluffs. or whatever they are.
Trade.
This technique is technique for tactics. Yeah, tactics is tactics. They're all in the book.
Right. I mean, so I think that's what's going to happen, especially because he saw what happened with markets and he saw what's happening with the economy. And the only possible kink in that prediction is that now that he has the Fed behind him saying that, you know, if this trade situation, because the World Bank cut, I think it was the World Bank tonight, cut global growth down 0.3% from 2.9% to 2.6% after the close of the markets. And, you know, we're already starting to see, I think it was Australia had a policy cut recently. Europe got deeper into the negative territory. Our bonds have been coming down dramatically, as we saw that, you know, rates have come down just beautifully. So all that is good for stocks. And if he thinks that the Fed is behind him, that's the only kink, is he may not back off so fast, especially if markets come up.
Well, if he does on the night before, as you're predicting, yeah, the markets should just skyrocket on Monday.
Yeah, they'll skyrocket. Definitely, you'll see Mexico pesos gain strength, and you'll see that that market does well. And stocks related to that, like many of the auto manufacturers, particularly GM, which has a lot of Mexican production, will move up really nicely. Any products that are sourced from Mexico will do well. So, you know, I think this is a little different than the China trade deal. And I really do think it was just a jab. Now, what's really also fascinating was that just last week, I think on Wednesday, they were putting forth the new NAFTA, the USMCA plan, and going to full resolution to get a final vote on this. And then the next day, he comes out with this.
Yeah, this is what irks a lot of people who follow this stuff, that Trump would kind of pull a rug out from under his own idea. The deal with Canada and Mexico just before, you know, they're still working on it, which makes your theory sound a little better. Like the whole thing is kind of just a negotiating tactic that maybe we talked a little bit about this on the No Agenda show, and I will reiterate some comments, which you remember, because I remembered them, which was during the Obama administration, these people were pouring into the country still, and Obama or deported 3 million of them. And there was this commentary that amongst the liberals that, we're hurting these people, are just trying to get into the country, we're hurting them. There was a commentary that came out saying, well, you know, the Mexicans themselves, even though they're lax about this is when the Mexicans were coming in, not when the Guatemalans were coming in. They said the Mexicans, they don't mind if their people come raiding the United States, but they beat the crap out of and they suppress and they do everything they can to keep any one Guatemalan from migrating into Mexico. And they beat them. And this was a common theme that the right wing would use to say, hey, look what Mexico is doing. You know, and then meanwhile, they don't care about their own people coming into our country. This is a hypocrisy. So the Mexicans can stop this because they used to traditionally stop Guatemalans and Central Americans from coming into Mexico. It's not like a new thing.
Right. It's not. The one thing that I think the markets really got spooked about was this. If you're a world leader and you have a deal that's about to go into play or some negotiation that's can be completed, and how do you now trust the United States to hold to what they said they're going to do if just arbitrarily and sporadically President Trump wakes up and decides that he could put on tariffs or he could change the deal? Now, what's interesting with this is, remember something else. There's a lot of stories about how President Trump did business back in the day when he was, quote unquote, still doing business. Not that he's not, but, you know, the real estate empire, that he'd have people come in and do his jobs and then say, hey, you know what? I'm not paying you, or I don't like what you did. I'm going to give you 75% of what it is. If you don't like it, sue me. So this is kind of the same thing. He puts a deal out together. He's like, you know what? It's a good deal, but I want better. Wait a minute. We just spent 3 months working on this. And all of a sudden, you're going to change the deal? How does that work? So I think the world got spooked when not so much the China deal, because that was just a deal that was working.
That was long term.
Right. But the USMCA.
Yeah, the spur of the moment.
Right. Yeah. How do you go into a deal when the potential for the other person on the other side is going to break the deal somewhere down the road?
Yeah.
That's a problem. So that's going to cause business investment, CapEx expenditures, expansion issues to really be questioned. I think there's going to be a lot of concern about boardrooms now looking at this as, you know, we have this situation where...
Yeah, you can't trust him.
We think we know where the deal is. We think we know what the rules are. But we have to speculate what if and put all of our planning into this what if category and then come up with what will be the alternatives if this doesn't work out. That's not good for business.
I would have to agree.
So then we have the China trade. So now the Chinese Vice Commerce Minister Wang Xuan said it was irresponsible of the United States to accuse China of backtracking. So in other words, now what China is doing is they're saying that it wasn't China. It wasn't us. You're saying that we changed the deal and we backtracked and we crossed out stuff and then that's why you backed out. But no, that's not. They said if the U.S. side wants to use extreme pressure to escalate the trade friction to force China to submit and make concessions, that is absolutely impossible. And he said, and he was talking in Chinese, then he switched to English. And he said, nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. Mm. So nothing seems to be going well there. I don't see any break in this China deal for a long time. I don't know how it's possible these guys are going to get together when they're so far apart. And now with this extra pressure now that you have the question, as we just talked about, that they could change the deal in between. Again, how do you go in good faith to a negotiating table? So big problems. It's going to have to be a very significant deal with a lot of checks and balances that are built in. And I just don't know if China's going to agree to that.
Well, they probably won't, but I don't think he really expects them to.
Yeah. All right. So here's the third leg of this. So we talk about the Mexican tariffs, my prediction there, China trade, what's happening there, why that was spooking markets. And then let's take a look at the rate cut possibilities. The idea that there is going to be the potential for a cut in Fed funds rates as soon as maybe even June, but probably July. So there's a chart here. And let me just give you the summary first. These charts and these tables and these graphs and all this stuff can be seen on the show notes for DH Unplugged, episode number, 459 over on dhunplugged.com. So take a look at this chart. Well, let me give you the summary first. 34% chance that the June meeting, which is in a couple, next week or the next week after, 2 weeks, I think, we'll see a cut. 34%. 66% chance that the July meeting will see a cut. 93% chance that the September meeting will see a cut of at least 25 basis points and possibly upwards of 50 basis points.
Where's the 93? I don't see it on here.
So, yeah, that's an interesting question. Okay, so let's take a look at this, and I'll show you what this is. Currently, let's go to the top of the table and look at the 225 to 250. See that column?
225, yes.
Okay, so that's where we are today. So if you look at this on 619, there's a 65% chance that we will stay at that level. One to the left, one box to the left, is a 34% chance that we'll see a cut. You see that?
Yeah.
Go one down, it shows that on 731, there's a 33% chance that we will be staying at these levels. So therefore, that means that there's a 67 or 66% chance that there'll be a cut of at least 25 basis points, which is a 50% chance, 16.9% chance of a 50 basis point cut.
Worst chart ever.
Yeah, I thought so too, but that's what it is. That's how we look at these things. It's meant to confound and confuse. Then you go down to the September and you see there's a 7% chance that we're going to stay where we are. That means that there's a 93% chance of a rate cut at least 25 basis points, which is 36%, 50 basis points at 42%, and then 75 basis points at 13%.
Yeah, it's all guesswork.
Oh, it's total guesswork. But yeah, I think you rely on the July numbers. And especially because the Fed looks at this, looks at the Fed fund futures probabilities.
Huh.
That's how they price it in utilizing what they're buying. In other words, the it's not options, but it's the Fed funds futures numbers of what is being bought and what's, or you know, how you discern this. So are you in line with that? Do you think we're going to see a rate cut?
Oh, I hope not.
And if we do see a rate cut, what does that mean? So one, it means that the Fed is admitting that they raised too fast, right?
Yeah, that's what they're admitting. That's why I'm doubtful there's going to be one.
But the second thing is that the Fed needs to get ahead of something. If you hearken back to last week when we had that yield curve chart.
The crossover.
So if you remember where that left-hand side was up and then the bulging belly and then it went up from there, right, came down. So yeah, we had this inversion.
It's a terrible chart. Terrible.
Right. So
not terrible in the way this one is, but terrible in the what it's telling us.
Right. If the Fed wants to control that, they can only control really the shorter term of the chart. So the left-hand side. So you're 1 year and under, 2 years and under. But they're really dealing with the Fed funds rates. So the Fed funds rates is the short rates, really short. If they can control that, they can possibly pull that down. Think of it like they're just grabbing onto that line and pulling it down. And therefore, you won't see as much of an inversion. So they may be looking to rectify the inversion situation. That they created. But again, I still think that's not telling us anything good because if the Fed has to step in and you have this kind of situation going on, it's telling us that since the long-term rates are higher, much higher on the right-hand side, that I guess you look at it this way. Look at it as the economy. The economy is going to do well over the short term, but then it's going to dip down significantly, and then it's going to come back long-term and do well, which is different than a nice line and smooth line from left to right. From low to high. It's kind of, you know, we're looking at a few months out, maybe 6 months out and into a recessionary period, assuming that the yield curve is telling us that. Now, there's a lot of these guys on TV saying, oh, no. This is all because of the central banks around the world. And it no longer has predictive powers. This time is different. I'm not buying that.
I'm not either. I think you're right again.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the way that the chart, and maybe it's exaggerated, but it's yeah. We saw tech stocks get slammed this week. So Facebook, Alphabet, I hate calling them Alphabet. Aren't they Google to you?
Yeah, Alphabet's like I don't know what the point of it is.
Yeah. Amazon, Apple, were all singled out in various reports indicating that the companies could face antitrust scrutiny by the Department of Justice and or Federal Trade Commission. And some of this was coming, and we've seen a lot of talk from various political candidates, the 6,000 of them that are running in the Democratic race. I mean, we got to break up Facebook. And, of course, the whole issue with Facebook with the political ads. And we got to look at, you know, security and privacy, and we got to look at, you know, tinkering when and trying to change elections. You know, all the concern about is the elections, of course. They can give a damn about the rest of the stuff, let's be honest. Politicians just don't want to disrupt their cushy life in the Senate or the House. So Facebook is down 18% from the high. Amazon's down 14%. Apple's down 20% from the high. The NASDAQ 100, as of yesterday, it was up about 3% today, was down 11.5% from the May high. So all of this is kind of going into the discussion that, number one, it started off as a concern about slowdown and high valuations. And now we're starting to see this talk about antitrust and, you know, potential other remember something. Facebook went in front of the Senate and the House and the Congress, and they were talking about, hey, we need help. Remember that whole discussion by Zuckerberg?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we need help. I'm like, oh, boy, that was bad. Why would you do that? You don't ask these guys for help. That's like going into the lion cage and saying, hey, palsy-walsy. Probably not a good idea. You're going to get nicked. So,
well, I don't get it. I mean, the Facebook guys have been talking about, you know, maybe we need regulation, which is like, what are they thinking?
Do you think that Facebook should be split up, or Amazon, or Alphabet?
I don't see how you can split up Facebook. Amazon, there's some natural places you could split it. AWS and a retail operation. That's a very natural split.
Right. And maybe you could do even the Whole Foods, possibly. I'm just saying.
Well, Whole Foods, they just picked up recently. I don't know. Whole Foods could be spun back out. It could be, but I don't think it's even necessary. I think AWS is the only real dubious connection. I don't see Facebook, what, split off Instagram? What difference does it make?
Yeah, split off their... I don't know how you do it either. I don't really understand what has to be split up about it.
With Microsoft, it made a lot of sense because you had business division, consumer division. You had normal kind of dotted lines that you could cut that would make sense. But with Facebook, it's just Facebook. I mean, who are we kidding here with splitting it up?
Yep. Google, you could split up. Google has, it's just well, like
Google's the, easy to split up. Right. Sure.
And Apple, I mean, you want to do what? Hardware,
Mac,
services.
You can take the Mac and spin it off as a separate company. I think they need to do that anyway.
And you keep what? The iPhone in one company, or the mobile in one company, Mac in a different company, services in a different company.
Yeah, that'd be natural.
Yeah. So as of yesterday, Monday, there was a lot of concern about this. Fast forward one day later, and it's like, okay. You know, maybe we're overreacting. Of course, again, it could also be that we hit the 200-day moving average on some of these and it became a buy signal. So we'll see. Gold's been moving higher. Got a chart there. Looks interesting. Let me see what gold is right now. 1331.
Yeah.
So I drew a little line in there. See that line?
Yeah.
That's a downtrend line. If we break that downtrend, you also have some kind of like a cup and handle that it looks like in here, the cup with a handle. Like a
descending triangle.
Descending triangles in here. A lot of different, it looks like a Santa beard, if you can fill in a face there. But this does look like it has the opportunity to move higher. And as the dollar moved lower again today, very much cut through its 50-day moving average down to its 200-day moving average now, which are pretty tight numbers. There is the potential for gold to move up. And if, in fact, the Fed does cut rates and it causes the dollar to see further declines, gold could maybe interesting here. It's been so out of favor for so long. The gold miners are doing really
well. It'll make a comeback, but we don't know when.
Yeah, the gold miners are doing well. It's interesting because never in the history of the TDI Managed Growth Strategy, you know, one of the strategies we manage, have I ever seen gold companies... miners in the portfolio. In other words, when we do these screens and all that, they have to meet all these characteristics and pass through all these hurdles to get in there. And I think we have like 2 to 3 different gold miners in there.
Wow.
Which I was really surprised about.
What's the best looking one?
We have Kirkland in there.
I never heard of Kirkland.
Kirkland Gold. Oh, that's a good symbol. Kirkland Lake Gold Company up 3.6% today, symbol KL.
Hmm.
And this is a, let's see what we got on the profile exactly so I don't misstate anything on this. They're in Toronto. Yeah, gold properties. Owns and manages 4 underground gold mines, including the Macassa, Holt, and Taylor mines located in northeastern Ontario. And the Fosterville mine located in Victoria, Australia, as well as 3 mining facilities in Canada and Australia. Oh, it was formerly known as New Market Gold.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Let me go over here. Okay. Every year, Warren Buffett auctions off a lunch with himself for somebody else to buy.
Yeah.
And this year it was one record bid, $4.57 million to have lunch. Would you have lunch with Warren Buffett for, I don't know, I'm just picking a number, $100,000?
I'm sure if I wanted to have lunch with Warren Buffett, I'd go about it some way that wouldn't cost me any money.
What, do you sneak into one of his favorite restaurants when you know he's hanging outside the diner?
No, I don't know. I don't know how I do it because I don't really have any reason to do it. There's nothing that would be no benefit to me or him to have a lunch. I mean, that's the first thing you got to create. If there's no benefit for either person, what's the point unless you just say, oh, I had lunch with Warren Buffett. I don't care about that.
Well, obviously, they're doing this for charity, so there's a benefit there.
Yeah, I said, yeah.
So when
who gets the credit, by the way, on this deal? Who gets the credit for the $4 million on the charity? Is it Warren or is it the other guy?
I'm sure it's Warren. He raised the money. It's like anything else. If I went out there.
What about the other guy? He doesn't get Jack for all his donation?
I'm sure he gets a tax write-off and he gets, well, he's getting media attention.
Well, it's not $4 million worth.
Justin's son. He bid a record $4.57 million to have lunch with him, who famously referred to Bitcoin as probably rat poison squared. He launched Tronix, known as Tron, or TRX token, in 2017, is now valued at $2.56 billion, and is the 10th largest cryptocurrency in the world. He's 28 years old. He's a Chinese entrepreneur. And he said he hopes to educate the Oracle of Omaha on cryptocurrency and the underlying technology called blockchain.
Oh, brother.
And he can bring a bunch of his friends. He's going to have a bunch of these blockchainers showing up in their Lambos.
This is, if I was Buffett, you'd give the $4 million back.
It'd probably be a fun lunch.
No, it wouldn't.
No?
Are you nuts? A bunch of blockchain guys yakking at you? I don't think so. It sounds like torture.
28-year-old Chinese blockchain boys coming to have a little brunch with Buffett. Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, we'll find out. There's a lot of there've been a lot of articles about how a lot of people, they keep on saying the same thing over and over again. They want to be a fly in the wall. Just to see how this goes down. But they're very excited about it. So congratulations to Justin Sun. S-U-N. Apple had their annual developers conference this week.
I guess.
And one of the things that came out with it was a new monitor. They have a new monitor. And the brightness is so extreme on this monitor that they had to replace the H, which is traditionally in these monitors, these high-end monitors, with an X. So instead of an HDR, it's an XDR, the Apple Pro Display. I'm surprised they didn't call it Apple Pro Display Plus.
Is it an 8K?
It's a 6K.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know this, 6K, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a 31.6.
Wouldn't go all the way.
It's what?
They wouldn't go all the way to 8K.
Why not?
You tell me.
Well, here's the specs. 31.6 inches diagonal, 6K resolution, 6,000 by 3384, HDR compatible, 1,000 nits brightness, 1,600 nits peak, 1,000,000 to 1 contrast ratio, P3 gamma colors with 10-bit capability, low reflective with matte screen finish option, Thunderbolt capability, and the price tag? $5,000.
Price tag too high.
Now, that's assuming that you want a monitor that will not go on a desk because it does not come with a stand. If you want the stand, it's $1,000 more.
Oh, brother.
So if you buy the latest Mac Pro, the one with all the bells and whistles, and you buy a monitor and, of course, a monitor stand, you're in for about $12,000.
Yeah, a little high.
Little high. So dollar index 97.05. That's an answer to a question from the chat room. IPO earnings this week. We got Beyond Meat, BYND, Zoom Communications, which is the Zoom webinar and meetings, and PagerDuty.
We got a bunch of complaints from the Beyond Meat people.
What do you mean?
Sent me a tweet saying, I'm sorry that, your daughter got sick from eating one of these burgers, Impossible Burger. Maybe it was them. I don't know who it is. They were just complaining. And I'm thinking it was probably bad mayo anyway. That's what really makes most people sick from a hamburger. But I grilled her about this burger. We talked about it in the last show. So after this the show, I started asking her the questions that we didn't answer on the show, which was, so what did you think of this burger, the Impossible Burger, overall? And I added, I understand that it's better than a typical veggie burger or a tofu burger.
Right.
And she said, yes, it is better than the typical veggie or tofu burger.
Does she talk like that? Very staccato?
No. And then I asked, well, was it even edible? I mean, because I wouldn't order one. Well, she said, yeah, it was okay. It wasn't that bad as I made it out to sound. So I apologize to the Impossible Burger of Beyond Meat people.
So here's something interesting. Beyond Meat is made from pea protein. P-E-A, not P-E-E. Pea protein.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sodium in it. It's, I think it's 11, I calculated it's about $11 a pound.
Kind of steep. You can get Wagyu.
You can get a good piece of top.
You get ground filet mignon.
Yeah. You can, for the regular burgers, about $4 or $5 a pound. So now you're eating a fake burger with questionable taste. For why is it always the stuff that either is good for you, tastes like crap, or it costs a lot more? It's not fair.
Yeah, ask that. Rephrase that.
Why is it that things that are supposedly good for you either taste like crap, or they're expensive?
Because I don't know. You know, that's a good question because it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
You think your body tends to say, here, this is good for you because I really crave it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the price of a kale salad compared to an iceberg lettuce salad. You ever eat kale salad? It's, ugh.
Oh, no. You don't want to eat kale.
That's terrible. It's just bitter and nasty. But I guess it's like, oh, if it tastes bad, it must be good for me. Cough syrup doesn't taste so good. Beyond Meat is now trading at 27 times the 2019 estimated sales. And what you see is a lot of heavy duty.
So it's 27 times sales.
Sales. That's
a bit high.
It's absurd. It's an absurd number.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're generally speaking, you're probably coming in with 10, you know, if you ever made money, it'd be 10% of that. So it's like 270 EPS kind of thing. It's very, very high number.
And you got a lot of competition coming in. Somebody in the chat room just mentioned that Nestle announced that Monday we'll have a veggie burger in the U.S. You see that Sanderson Farms has one. You got the Impossible Burger. I mean, these things are not that difficult to make. It's not like the barrier to entry to these things. Now, Beyond and Impossible have a good footprint between Whole Foods and Burger King and a variety of other places. They did a great job at marketing. The problem is it's very difficult to short this stock. There's no shares available, which is probably why it's at $100 today. You know, it's getting bid up pretty well. It's up 350% since the IPO.
Now this is this is not Impossible Burger. This is Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat. Yeah. Impossible is not publicly traded.
Okay.
But there's a good amount of competition here. And I think it's also kind of fatty, not fatty, but fatty. F-A-D.
Faddish.
Definitely faddish. So I think that it just seems to me that this is it's so GoPro. You know?
Yeah.
So
just keep looking for that short, the borrowed stock that you can short it.
Exactly.
I don't know if you ever will. It'd be good for our game. We did it on the game.
I put in the game. We made like 25% and then it just popped right back up. You know, you think that things are bad here. You think that Donald Trump fires people and it's kind of like a bummer. It's like, oh, God, there's a revolving door. You know, he doesn't like somebody, just gives him the axe, right? And we've seen that a lot. And I don't know if it's, you know, there's some kind of, oh, well, Obama and this guy and with that guy. Everything's for Obama. It's like there was never a president before Obama that you can compare anything to.
Was there?
Yeah, right. It's only Obama. It's the only thing you compare it to is Obama. You think it's bad here in North Korea? They recently executed its nuclear envoy to the United States as part of a purge of officials who steered negotiations for the failed summit between Kim Jong-un and President Trump.
Yeah, Trump walked from the negotiations, so they shot all the negotiators. That's a tough gig.
Yeah. Why would he even take that? Where's the upside?
I don't think you'd have a choice.
Oh, It's like, if you don't do it, we're going to kill you. And if you do it, we're going to kill you.
Because we don't even know any of this is true. I mean, I get the biggest kick out of, oh, it's the Hermit Empire. Nobody knows what's going on. But yet we know all the stuff that supposedly is going on.
Well, this is from a South Korean newspaper.
Yeah, they don't like him up there.
And why would North Korea release this information anyway? And where would they get the information? I agree with you. There is something a little fishy here.
Yeah, it's fishy.
Yep. Ebola is back. Ebola.
It's been back for a month or two.
Yeah. We have now 2,000 confirmed cases, and it's picking up speed. The number of confirmed cases reached a milestone three times as quickly as it took to reach 1,000. 1,300 people have died. Let me see. Yeah, the second dose. Yeah, so the one since August, 1,300 people have died. This is in the eastern Congo. Probably a place you don't want to go.
No. Probably I don't think I really have never had much of a desire to go to the eastern Congo.
Yeah. Social media is cracking down and doing some self-policing. And this is out today in an effort to protect children on the various platforms. YouTube has now updated. Just you got to listen to this. And then I know you got to chime in because it's something. Well, YouTube has updated the security policies and guidelines to forbid young minors, which I don't know what a younger minor is. Like, what's the cutoff? Is it 12? Is it?
It could be 10.
Yeah.
I don't know what a young minor is either. Is a young minor, which seems 16? No.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're now forbidden from streaming unless they have an adult with them. The safety of children and families on the video platform has long been a concern that's become more talked about recently.
What young minors have been streaming that's been a concern?
Well, you could just push a button and go live. I mean, just
no, but what? Yeah, well, how has this been a problem?
Well, it's been a problem on Facebook with young people doing some weird stuff, doing suicide.
Those aren't young minors; those are older minors.
I guess. Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't Google young minors, they're saying on the chat room. It's probably get your computer taken away and you card off to jail. But what's interesting is here's the point. Younger minors are forbidden from streaming unless they have an adult with them. Now, how do you prove the adult is with you? If they're maybe
just have a big cutout of your mom.
a big cardboard picture of your dad, mom behind you.
Yeah.
Green screen of a picture of them sitting on a couch.
Green screen dynamite. All you young miners out there who want to screen or want to run some streams, learn how to green screen. It's very, there's products out there that'll help you do it.
Yeah. I mean, actually Skype will, I think, green screen you.
Will it?
I think so. I think Skype can green screen. And some of these cameras, like I have a Logitech Pro webcam, dynamite, 1080p, beautiful picture. You click a button, it just green screens you. If you have a green screen, of course. Otherwise, it just wipes everything out. And then
really?
Finally, yeah. Well, because if you say you're on a green screen or using a chroma key, what happens is that it doesn't know what to pick up if you don't have a green screen behind you. So the kind of old.
No, I understand that, but that's what I was saying really about. I didn't know which camera is this.
This is. I'm pulling it over. Hold on. It's a Logitech webcam.
Little video cameras, those little balls or whatever they are.
It's not ball. This one's Logitech 1080p webcam. I'll tell you what it is.
Exactly. And it will green screen.
Yep.
Automatically, if you have a green screen or a green wall or
it's
something.
It's a Logitech C920.
How much adjustability is there on tuning the green screen so you wipe it out? So
you can do
get
a chroma
key
and you could do percentages and you could do.
Okay, what can you do? How do you get the image that you want on the green screen?
Because you just put there's another box.
Do they have any standard ones you can use?
Yes.
Okay.
Or you just upload your picture. Put a picture of, you know, beautiful Florida sunset behind it.
Well, that's kind of nifty. How much does that cost?
$79.
Oh, that's a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what kids can do.
Yep.
Take a little picture of their mom and dad sitting on the couch. Get that camera. Put green screen yourself. Get a green – this green screen is easy. Or you can paint a wall with a nice green color, which is a kind of a neon green. You can buy the color. You can paint it. There's a paint that comes green screen. Tune it in. put the family back there, and then there you go. Stream away.
There you are. Logitech C920. Yep. Nice little camera. Let me see which one I have here. It's 920. Yeah, Logitech Pro. The 922, the 920, both those. And it comes because the software comes with it. And then you just push the button to go out to live on you, or just record it and go up or live stream it out. There you go. Where there's a will, there's a way. And nice. Finally, in this segment of the show, I just want to mention the impact of streaming games. I know your son's very interested in this area, but since 2016, GameStop stock is now down 80%. Down 26% after the close today, after the earnings came out just in horrible fashion.
I wonder what they can do to save the company. It's actually a good idea.
What's a good idea? The company?
Yeah.
They need to... They're Blockbuster, for God's sakes.
Well, Blockbuster, so was Netflix.
Yeah, but Netflix is now...
They pivoted.
A big pivot. And if Netflix stayed what they were, which was just a streaming Blockbuster, you know, streaming, the reason why Netflix got to where they are is because their original content. They became an original content provider. I mean, the other
ones. It was part of a staged development. That there's nothing that Netflix did, as far as I'm concerned, that Hollywood Video or Blockbuster, and Blockbuster in particular, could not have done. They could have done the same thing. They just could have followed the lead. But no.
Right. Nope. And GameStop. When you're competitive, it seems to me,
you're in business and you got competitors. And your competitor pivots in some screwball way, and it looks like it's working out for him. Why don't you? That's what you do. That's what competition's about. You see what your competition does, and you try to top them. You don't just sit there on your butt and just let the whole thing fall apart because you're too lazy. It never made any sense to me.
But the only
this
thing
is the
was
same thing with AOL and Facebook.
But the only thing, the differential between Blockbuster and Netflix was that there was no physical stores for Netflix. So Netflix was already in the distribution business rather than the retail. They were retail, but not in the same, right? They didn't have brick and mortar. They were doing the old, hey, here's a video. A couple days later, take that scratch DVD that you got, stick it back in the envelope and send it back. Remember that whole thing, the red envelopes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how they got started.
Right. So they were well ahead of Blockbuster at the time because they were just doing delivery only. And then they went into the streaming. Now, Blockbuster would have to put so much money into it and thinking that, you know what, we got something that's a cash cow here. Even though it's a pain in the ass for people to come in the store, hope to God that there's one of the 12 movies that we have in this area, then nobody watches them after 6 months, that video again, right? So they have all these extra DVDs and boxes they have to repurpose. And they just couldn't figure out how to get it because they said, the Netflix thing will never work. People like to come and browse.
Well, they made a mistake. That was their mistake. Netflix thing will never work, and people were doing it left and right.
Right.
Blockbuster had, I believe they owned most of those properties. They should have pivoted to a Netflix model and sold off the properties as fast as they could. It'd make some real estate profits.
And that would have funded their never-ending losses. Don't forget, Netflix wasn't profitable until recently.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And that's years later. So, just to mention that, of course, we are here for your pleasure, your education, and
casual.
Yeah, we're very casual and unrehearsed.
And unrehearsed.
Yeah, and that unrehearsal part of it is where you come in because we want you to spur of the moment, without thinking, go over to DH Unplugged, click on the donate button. This is how we maintain what we do. You know, you got a great idea about a Logitech quick camera tonight. You know, you got great information about listen, we told you don't go into political service in North Korea. Probably not a good ending. We've given you ideas, and we have a couple more coming up. So if you have some great insights from what we talk about, please go over and donate to the show right now. Stop what you're doing. I know you're in your car. Pull over. You're on the train. You're on the treadmill. Stop what you're doing just for a second. Go over and donate to DH Unplugged. You can do it on your iPhone very easily. DHUnplugged.com. Click on the donate button and you're all done. Now, we're close to the pin for Live Nation. You need to send me a price guess on your side.
Yep.
It's going to close on Friday and we'll have the results next in a week from that Friday. So okay, Live Nation.
I'll do it tomorrow.
On this note, I've been fetching about Live Nation. Remember last week I talked about the costs that were just ridiculous. Well, yep. One of the companies that had ridiculous costs, and I always scratch my head about, like, how are they in business, was a company called FTD. I don't even remember what
right.
it stands
for. FTD Florist, the Florist Telegraph Delivery or something. What it's
yeah, Teledirect or whatever it is. Yeah. Going bankrupt.
Oh.
Done. Stocks down 90% in the last couple of days.
Oh, what a nice short that would have been.
Yep. Beauty. It made sense. All right. A few other things before we get going to the stock picks, by the way. Cuban travel has been banned again. It seems that there was an amendment to the Cuban Assets Control Regulations today by the Treasury Department, banning educational and recreational travel. Companies like Norwegian Cruise Lines, Royal Caribbean, Carnival, all got hit on that.
Oh, what's the point?
Well, our government is trying to strangle the economic abilities of Cuba. And by doing what we can.
They've been trying this since John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, since the beginning.
And it has not panned out, if they haven't noticed.
I've been there. It's a crap hole.
But it's photogenic.
Yo, that's true. We get the cars and the buildings. Great black and white pictures.
I want to take pictures and hang out.
Not anymore.
But, well, I can still, as a journalist, they still let you go.
I read the Treasury thing today. If you had the person to person, which is how I got there.
I'm pretty sure journalists are exempt.
Yeah. Well, so go over and there, do it.
Right. But I was like, I think the photography there would be great.
Food's good. The Lechon Asado.
Food's supposed to be pretty decent. You know, music.
Music's good. When I say the best mojitos.
But let's face it. We started doing this in the 60s during the Kennedy. I think Kennedy started it. And that's why he stocked up on Upman cigars. And so Kennedy and then Johnson and then Nixon, they all kept it up. Every one of these old presidents, all these presidents have died. It's been going on so long. We have one dead president after another just died of old age. They're old age. This has been going on for that long.
And it's the smallest little country with no, they have resources, but they're such a small little jobby. You know, it's just ridiculous. This is just,
Bush is another one. I mean, Reagan. I mean, it's unbelievable.
But the difference was that this is the first time under Obama that it was opened up, right? There was always sanctions. There was always prohibitions and all that. But it was opened up to travel and all that under the Obama administration. This is just another one of Trump's unraveling and rolling back of his most hated enemy, President Obama. Yep.
Yeah, well, this was I think this is dumb. Yeah. I think people should go to Cuba if they want to.
A couple of things.
It's supposed to be a free country.
I hear you. Carnival Cruise Line, another cruise ship, reached a settlement on Monday with federal prosecutors in which the world's largest cruise line agreed to pay $20 million because its ships continue to pollute the oceans despite a previous criminal conviction aimed at curbing similar conduct. They were basically just dumping their crap at sea.
Yeah.
Bad. Jeopardy, if you're a watcher of Jeopardy, James Holzhauer finally lost to 27-year-old librarian Emmer Botcher.
Yeah, they customized the questions and hope to get some category that this guy can't answer, and they finally found someone.
Yep, and he came in 60,000 short of beating Ken Jennings.
Yeah.
They
didn't like this guy because he was picking from the bottom constantly.
Yeah, but who cares? He was great for ratings. It was kind of good. He showed. Now they're all going to start doing that. You watch.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new technique.
Well, they can change the rules and say you have to pick from the top.
What's the point? It's an open board. You pick for whoever you want.
You can just say pick from the top. You got to go top to bottom.
I don't know why that would be a thing, but okay. I don't understand the benefit of that or why that's good or bad. I don't understand. It's pick wherever you want to pick. Answer the freaking question.
Well, that guy just picked at the bottom every time. I mean, come on.
And the bottom ones are usually the harder questions.
I've never noticed this.
Yes. Of course. I could answer 200s all day long. Get down to the 2000s. I'm like, you know, it's like some obscure 16th century literature.
The hardest questions are the daily doubles. That's the one where people screw up by putting too much money on it.
Right. President Trump on Monday appeared to lightly touch Queen Elizabeth's back. He touched her on the back when he was at the banquet.
He did? Oh, no, he touched her?
Yep. Violation of royal protocol.
I think most of the observers who know the queen say that she likes him.
Yes.
And he compliments the hell out of her.
Yeah, of course, because she's royalty. He brought his whole family, the royal Trumpisms. So protocol dictates that she must offer her hand to you first. And the article went on to say that I was reading today that Michelle Obama made the same mistake by hugging her when she.
No.
Went. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Quickly, we don't have much time left. You want to skip the fun facts?
Well, how many? Is there a good fun fact? Let's at least do a highlight.
Okay, here we go. Fun facts. People can suffer. Fun fact number one. People can suffer from a psychological disorder called boanthropy that makes them believe they're a cow.
What?
Look up boanthropy. B-O-A-N-T-H-R-O-P-Y. You have the belief that you're a cow. Elvis was originally blonde.
I don't believe this one.
He originally was blonde. He started dyeing his hair black for an edgier look. And sometimes he would touch it up himself using shoe polish.
This doesn't sound right. He doesn't look like anyone who's ever a blonde.
A red blood cell takes about 20 seconds to make its rounds around the entire circulatory system of the body.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's fast. If you had taken a picture by the very first camera, you'd need to sit for 8 hours.
Still lifes were very popular to take photos of.
A snail.
The dead.
Yeah. A snail can sleep for 3 years. And finally, the famous Lacoste crocodile symbol was created in 1933 and was the first designer logo ever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
Pre-swoosh.
Yep. There you go. Where everybody has to have a logo. You have to have a logo. I remember when I was going to business, oh, you have to have a logo. I'm like, why? Well, you have to have a logo and it needs to match and the colors and stuff. All right, so make a logo. Like a month later, we're deciding on this blue and that blue. I'm like, who cares what blue it is?
You know, there's a lot of guys are picky about the blue. They have the exact number from the PMS, those color guys, the color blenders.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. Thank you, Johnny. Okay. Go ahead, rip it. Take it.
Well,
do it.
We got three big winners on here that over time have done pretty well for us. And that would be the top of the list. The oldest one is Church and Dwight. And then we got, which is up almost 18%, Aerojet Rocketdyne.
I just love that name.
It's up 18 plus. And then that's the highest one. Oh, no, it's not the highest. The highest is mine.
Yep.
Which is Veru, up 27.1% using a penny stock with triangle descending.
Beauty.
That sounds like a winner.
Beauty.
Now, the rest of them, we got a couple. Zillow Group is up already, and it's people are still buying into it. There's something's up with Zillow.
Hmm.
So I would go up again with more of it, but I don't, you know. So you've got a new anyway. Ford Motors down a little bit. Summit Bank, which I'd like to see go up, it's not. I mean, Walgreens Boots is down 5%. Kraft Heinz down 5. The Kraft Heinz kicked off, and so is Cody. All right.
So here's mine. Mine is it's a follow through on my prediction that Sunday night we will see a postponement, a temporary stay. For the Mexican
day of execution.
Yep. For the Mexican tariffs. And therefore, one of the companies that was affected pretty significantly due to this is Calavo Growers. They're the,
the avocado specialists.
Avocados. Most of the production of avocados comes from Mexico. A good chunk of it. Some in California. Southern California. A few other places. They have a lot of their facilities are in the U.S., but if they have to schlep these avocados across and pay a 5 or 10% upcharge, the question is, how are you going to push that along? So I'm thinking that if, in fact, and already we saw it up 4% today on the thought that maybe some things are softening, I'm thinking that if the Mexico deal gets postponed and maybe doesn't even happen, the tariffs, that this could be a good play. Symbol CVGW.
I like it. I got nothing.
Nothing?
I would have gone with Zillow again, but I've already gotten that, so nothing else going on.
All right, then we will end the show here, and we will pick up where we left off next week. We'll be right in the heart of June. Getting hot down here, man. Oof. Man, it's getting hot down here.
Well, it finally warmed up here. It's been in 60s and 70s.
Terrible. Terrible.
All right.
All right, I'll see you next week. Well,
okay, sounds good. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.